Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott try to answer a question. Can value be found at any price? Well, to do that, they try Chateau Fambrage Saint-Emilion Grand Cru from Bordeaux. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy. And tonight, I am joined by Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver.
Good evening, folks. It's really good to be here.
It is. Because tonight on the show, we are not joined by the Triple B. She is taking a bath. However, Scott and I are joined by a good friend from Saint-Emilion. What we want to do tonight is say, it's determined, can value be had in different price ranges?
Yeah.
I mean, what is value, really? It means, well, it's QPR, but...
Did you just say QPR?
Yeah, in relation to the price. Does the wine make sense? And we're back to that.
Do we make sense?
I don't know. So, from Bernard Mengray's lines, well, one of the wineries he owns, estates he owns, he's a mogul, you know, in France. But this is the Chateau Fambrage, Saint-Emilion Grand Cru. For those that don't know,
say Fambrage again.
Fambrage. That is how Apple. You don't speak French.
A little bit.
Very little. So don't act like you know how it's said.
I just love hearing you say that.
Fambrage.
That's good.
That's how it's pronounced, fuck's sake.
Sure it is. Somewhere the French are going, this goddamn America.
They're not listening to us in France because we don't speak French. And you certainly don't speak French either. Nevertheless. That's how it's pronounced, according to my phone. That's all I've got. How do you know? There's no Frenchman. Where am I? Is there a Frenchman in this? No. Bo doesn't speak French.
Folks, don't you love?
Well, how do you say it?
Gets exasperated.
How do you say it? If you,
it,
Fambrage.
Fambrage.
Well, the R isn't silent, but that's basically
Fambrage.
Fambrage. There is a hint of an R in there.
Hint.
Hint. Just a whiff. And that's exactly what I said. It's Fambrage. There is a little bit of an R.
Regardless, we're visiting.
The R is not silent, jack off. Anyway.
Regardless, we're visiting our friends.
Yes.
In St. Emily.
Yeah, that's the way you would pronounce it. For those that know, in France, there
both
in,
of you.
Napoleon. He had a Napoleon. Nice classification in 1855. But that was for left bank wines, Graves and Medoc. Now, in 1955, the right bank felt a little bit left out.
The right bank was left out?
They felt bad. So they had their own classification for Saint-Emilion. And there are three classifications. And it's changed. I think they reclassify every 10 years. So there's a lot more, you know, back and forth in the Saint-Emilion class. But there are three classes. There's Class A, Class B, and then there's just... Cru class, and this is in Cru class, the third. I mean, it's a third tier, but when you're in the A tier, you're talking about really, really, really expensive wines, up to $1,000, for instance.
Right on.
Great wines, classic wines like Cheval Blanc is one of them. So, in B, those are great wines too, and the two to you know 100 to well no 120ish, all the way up into the threes and fours. But Grand Crus are sub 100. This wine is $49.99 of your money.
$50.
And then you say, that's a lot. Well, is it? I mean, let's think. And you can buy it on wine.com right now. Okay, I don't know for how much longer, but they do have an amount right now. But when you say, what do you get in California for $50? What is interesting? What can you get interesting in California that's Cab or Merlot based? Not... Yeah, I'm not talking about just some Napa Valley designate that tastes like a variant of the year before and they just put some American oak on it. We like those, but they're not as interesting. You know what I mean?
There's also the fact that this scores
really
well year in, year out by folks that we have respect for. I mean, year in, year out, this is 93, 94, 95.
ignoring the scores for a second, though, it might be just a little more interesting. It has more history. They started making wine on this estate. The first time they harvested was in 1599. That's a long time ago.
It is.
I'm not saying what it tasted like when they made it then. It probably tasted like a natural wine. By the way, for those last week episode that on Scott Sain's bingo card had the word Trowbridge, you won. Because you said Mr. Trowbridge like 100 times.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing.
I won.
How often does a person say Trowbridge? You said it 50 times. Mm-hmm. It was awesome.
You wouldn't let me say anybody else's name.
I didn't apparently let you tell the truth either. So this week, we have wines where they use pesticides, where they kill, you know, small woodland animals for sport. I don't know that they do that.
Do they? This is organically made.
Well, they use machines.
Well,
they don't crush it with their dirty feet.
They use machines, too.
No, they don't. And they don't also put Chardonnay in their red wine. But that's okay. Forgetting all that. I don't want to talk about that.
French people don't ever do that.
If they do, they know what they're doing.
Oh, they do.
Yeah. Not Chardonnay. They put Viognier.
Chardonnay.
And they put like a drop, not 55 gallons. Because they aren't hacks. But still, that's okay.
Back to the wine.
We are going to find out tonight. What does 50-ish dollars. I mean, you stutter a little bit, but $50.
I stuttered?
Well, no. $50 buy you in France. What? I mean, yeah. It's kind of hard to actually say that was a straight face because we just want to drink this wine. But can value be had? I mean, I think we found with like the boy from K Vintners.
Oh, Lord.
Value can be
had.
Oh,
Lord.
When you consider it's $50, but it tastes like it's three times the price.
We always That's value. Talk about what price point do you think this wine fits into? What does it taste like?
And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. That's what we're going to determine tonight. And also try to give you some information about Right Bank wines. To a certain degree. I mean, I think we've talked about them in the past.
It's been a red hot
but
second
have we
since
done,
we've been one.
Have we done a Saint-Emilion Grand Cru? We buy Saint-Emilion frequently, but have we done one? I don't think so. We've done satellites, but we haven't done a Grand Cru. I don't think that I can remember. We've done Pomerol. We've done Pissac Ligon. We've done, you look up here. This is what we've done. We've done Pouillac. I mean, we've done, Saint-Julien and Medoc, we've done those too. So we've done a lot of different things, but I don't think that we've done Saint-Emilion. It's just something that slipped through the cracks.
Talking about Grand Cru class.
Yeah, I'm not talking about the satellite bullshit, you know? The satellite, we like them, but that's not Saint-Emilion. It's an offshoot. Excluding that, I'm not talking about Franzac, which isn't Saint-Emilion.
Right. We've done Franzac Grand Cru, which is...
No, there is no Grand Cru.
They're friends.
It's Franzac.
They're friends.
Yeah, they're not too far from each other, but the Franzacs tend to be a little bit more mineral driven. They're more akin to Pomerol than they would be Saint-Emilion anyway. We've done Pomerol on the show. What am I talking about? So we've done cousins, very, very close cousins.
Like kissing cousins?
Close enough that they shouldn't marry cousins. How's that sound?
That close?
Yes, that close. That's really close for you. That'd have to be like your sister, because your cousin, you're just like, well, you know. But still, that's not important.
For Southern man would say, what is the most illegitimate part about marrying a cousin? And how far removed does a cousin need to be? These are questions I need to know. I've tried to find a podcast answering those questions. And I have not yet to do so.
You've been unsuccessful.
First of all, I don't listen to podcasts.
Well, you're not a good listener, gentlemen.
No, I have a transistor radio, and I cannot. I can't pick up the podcasts on there. I do listen to AM stations, which is fascinating. They have all my favorite discussions. You know, did you know Rush Limbaugh is dead?
Is that right?
That's right. But I have all his discussions on tapes.
A-track?
Yeah. Yes. Now, you know Rudolph Giuliani. You know him, right?
The red-nosed reindeer.
He married his cousin. He did.
Well.
He banged his cousin, too, because he married her. So there's that.
He didn't.
He's not even a Southern man.
Well,
you know,
he behaves like one.
And not really. He behaves like a complete deranged idiot, but still, you know. Did you know he wore like a cut-off jean jacket to look like a a gang member in New York City.
He did.
It was very convincing. And then he married his cousin. So well, I just like to point that out. So, folks, we're going to take a break and be right back here on the Wine Vault.
Hey, everybody. It's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back.
And we're back, folks, with the Chateau Framboise. Or Framboise. Anyway, 90% Merlot, 10% Cab Franc. It does have some reviews, as we alluded to, and I am going to now read them.
You know, apparently the Wine Spectator thinks they know this wine better than you do, because they say there's Merlot, Cab Franc, Malbec, and Cab Sauv.
Well, I'm looking at the winemaker's notes, and typically Grand Crus are just Merlot and Cab Franc.
And I would believe them, but Spectator thinks they know better than you.
Well, this is the thing. The decanter mentioned there's Malbec in the vineyards here now, but not yet in this wine.
There you go.
Spectator completely fucked it up. Spectator originally gave this 94 of their points, and then downgraded it to 90. That's okay.
How dare they?
Well, so, this is the Southern Man. I'm back on the show. By the way, Scott, don't marry your cousin, in case you wanted to know. Jib Dunnock, he gave it 95 of his points.
He has nice hair.
He does have nice hair. And you know what? He's not my cousin, so that's interesting. But anyway, a gorgeous wine that shines on all account. The 18 Chateau Framboise, see how I pronounce that correctly, sports a dense purple hue to go with loads of black currant and black cherry fruits, as well as tobacco leaf, damp earth, chocolate, and cedary herbs. With full-bodied richness, a deep layered mid-palate, silky tannins, and outstanding length, this rock star Saint-Emilion can be enjoyed over any time over the 20 to 25 years or more. It's hands down the finest vintage I've ever tasted from this estate.
Thank you. And this is James Suckley, and I reviewed this one as well, and I provided it 94 of my points, and I wrote ripe plum, black cherry, milk chocolate, walnut and vanilla aromas and flavors. It's full-bodied with plush, velvety tannins, creamy and polished, very tight now. Yes, I know many a man that... Anyway, I meant this. Never
mind. Wilfred Wong!
That's not Wilfred's voice, and he's not tight, trust me. From organically grown grapes. Try from 2023 when it will begin to open up.
Hiya, this is Wilfred Wong, and I don't want anyone to think that I have nothing to do with James Suckling. Don't say that I do. That's bullshit.
Well?
He's not my type.
You're tight?
Oh. He's breathing. I prefer him dead. So anyway, the decanter gave a 93.
Is he really?
Yes. 93 of his points. Or their points. Who knows who they are? Anyway, they wrote a successful vintage for Framboise, showing good balance and rich texture. This will develop into a full-bodied, enjoyable wine majoring on berry fruit with a few more years in the bottle, although there is flash of heat on through the finish. Michael Rowland is the consultant. Yeah, Michael. There's Malbec in the vineyard here now, but not yet in this wine. 40% new oak, drinking window, 2024 until I'm dead.
Then Parker, 93, and Spectator, 90, because how many reviews are we going to read?
You know, honestly, Jeb Dunnock's and the decanter review, they're both a little weird. Dunnock, the tone of his review was weird, referring to as a rock star, Saint-Emilion. It's fine, but he's not normally that casual in his reviews.
Maybe it was just the way the Southern man read it.
No, I think it's the
you were mesmerized by my voice, weren't you? You were like, I wonder if that Southern man is my cousin. That's what you were thinking, weren't you?
No, you were not like, really.
I don't know.
I did wonder if the Southern man had an attractive cousin.
I do. His name is Bob.
I was thinking more of her.
Her?
Yes.
Who's that? Your a woman cousin.
A woman cousin.
No. I keep him to myself. Lord. Yes. Anyway, in the glass, it does have a deep purple hue.
This is in our wheelhouse.
Oh, by the way, Scott, I'd like to also say out to the world that we had
we had
a death on the wine vault. The Triple B yesterday at 5:45 in the morning broke a Venom series Cabernet glass. Didn't tell me. And that night at
5:45 in the morning.
Yes.
What was going on?
We were leaving for soccer, which the first match was 7:30.
Okay.
And so I asked her that night, hey, did you wash and put away that glass? Once you told me the truth. So it already has two replacements coming. But I found a better deal. See, Cabernets for Venom going for $54 for two. But the Grand Cru that we're drinking out of here, we're 44. So we have two more Grand Cru coming.
Interesting.
That's right. It's completely unnecessary, but that's okay. And yes, we are drinking them out of the Grand Cru Venom series.
They're gorgeous glasses.
Bordeaux glasses. Very big.
And, you know, they're a cab glass. They're just an oversized cab glass.
Yes, they are. In the glass, though, it's a very pretty wine. Deep, dark.
As dense a purple as there is in the world.
It's not as dense as some Shirazes and things like that, which look like oil. But
well, it's not black. It's not black in color.
But it has a purple prettiness to it.
It's gorgeous.
It's very pretty.
On the wonderful nose. Legs. That easily form and, oh my
Lord. It is a little higher, though, in alcohol. 14.5. Normally, Bordeaux's, we're looking for 12.5 to 13.5. Smell mint. I smell berry. A little bit of a limestone edge. With honeysuckle, or is that kind of like a dogwoody kind of thing? It's not violet, but it's definitely a tree flower, like dogwood or honeysuckle, something like that.
I think that mint has some floral thing with it, but I think with the mint, there's also like a like a marjoram, like
something,
some
I'll go with
earthy.
That.
Herbal thing. I like it a little bit for blackberry. I love this nose. That is one of the more approachable noses that we've had in a long, long time. And folks, I do think this oversized cab glass, this Grand Cru glass, is allowing us to enjoy this nose a little more.
And we're expecting this wine to be somewhat closed because 18 is way too young. I mean, this, you should hold this. Spectator said, drink now through 2026. Fuck you, Spectator. Drink this like 2023 to 2033. Now, 2040 is a little bit overboard, but this is something where I would hold it for 3 to 5 years and then drink it over the next 10.
Dominic said 25 years, dude.
Well, I know you can do that. It's not beyond the level of, but I've had.
Decanter had a similar range to you. Wine Advocate had a similar range. Oh, it said 15 plus.
Yeah. I think, Well, let's taste it. Then we'll make a better determination there.
This nose is so nice.
Yes.
It's not that I don't want to taste it. It's just I want to enjoy this nose.
It's a very French nose, too.
You want to do what to my nose?
Well, now that you mention it.
Okay. Hmm. Wow. Holy fuck. First of all, I think we've talked before about full body, medium body. This is full bodied. And this is an absolute nuclear tannin bomb of a wine because of its youth. It is so, it's a potent potable right now. Very dense, very tightly wound. Huge, 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 huge tannin. Huge. The astringency, like you like in Merlot, is extremely there. Prominent.
There.
Yeah.
The other thing that's extremely prominent is the finish.
Is lengthy. It's tons of tannin, a little bit of the berry fruit carries through, and then it has a nice woodiness. Oh, no, it's still going on.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
It's a long finish.
Still going on. Still going on.
It's... It's very young.
Very young.
I mean, I don't think it's young. It's just it's too early to drink.
Still going.
It. Chocolate. I don't... They talk about tobacco leaf. I'm leaning more towards leather.
It'll get to frickin' spice box, cigar box, but it's not there quite yet because of how closed it is, yeah.
Yeah, it's just delicious.
Oh.
Yeah,
you're right, though. There is a chocolatey, a very chocolatey palate. It's also slight. It has a little bit of the Merlot acidity that you expect that creates the astringency, too. It has all the trimmings, all the bones needed to have a very, 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 very long life. The bones are all there. The frame is all there. Acidity. Tannin, you know, all of those things are there and just scream, this thing might be there at 2040.
Or longer? We don't, honestly, we don't have a lot of experience on the show with...
No, starting off
a
drinking...
A wine
mm-hmm.
of this caveat, this strength... To say, oh yeah, it could go 25 years when we're drinking it essentially right off the shelf.
Well, yeah, podcasts haven't been around long enough for people to do that, have they? Well, drink a young wine. I mean, you can drink a current vintage and then go back in time and drink a different vintage, but that's not the same thing.
It's not the same thing.
I mean, we've done old versus new before, but not with, you know, you drink the 18 then. Where is the 18 in 15 years? You can't do that.
I believe this is a 15 year at least wine. Maybe it's longer.
I
maybe
would concur.
Maybe done yeah. a kid's right 20 to 25
in cold cellars. I think it can do that. Not every bottle, but if it's stored right and the cork was great and everything is going for it, yeah, I think that you're going to find it's going to remind you a lot. Remember how Smith-Holt Lafitte once again is more Cabernet since it's left bank, but remember how the Smith-Holt Lafitte was at the end there, it was the 1998 that we did.
Yeah.
A lot of minerality, silkiness. It was mouthfeel. It was just all length and mouthfeel that you were enjoying. This will be that at the 25 yeah. and 30, you yeah. know, that kind of.
You can see this headed that direction. Mm-hmm. It's just, but the footprint of this wine.
It's a two-minute long finish, isn't it? Three-minute long
oh
finish.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But it's everything you want a Merlot to be. Everything you want Merlot to be. And okay, so maybe it's not demonstrating a minerality. Maybe it never does.
No.
I'd be with that.
The mid palate is chock through with all of that. It's just packed up in a suitcase or a steamer trunk, really. You know, in 10 years, you're going to see it singing with that. You're going to see all sorts of. The mid palate, I think, is just going to be an absolute brick house, amazing thing. I it just
something amazing. Oof.
Mm. Oh my god. The finish. The word for me for this wine is luxurious. In the finish, this is weird. I'm going to say the finish starts in the mid palate. It's like that mid palate just drives through the finish and just continues on and on and on. That just that glimpse of leather and chocolate that you get just drives all the way through the wine with the finish. With that astringency. I love this wine.
Mm-hmm. Oh. You still want that Turley Cab? Mm-hmm. Turley Habs is ready to drink.
I love a Turley Cab.
Oh, yeah.
I love a Turley Cab. This is... freaking spectacular.
Well, at $50, by the way, I frequently... this sounds a little bougie, but I frequently drink Duckhorn Merlot. I do. I have a good source of half bottles that I buy, and they're fairly reasonably priced. And I've probably had, on the down low, maybe 6-7 bottles of that. And then I've even have full bottles. I mean,
Your wife listens to the show, by the way.
Well, I know. I have it. And that is $50 just like this. Sometimes $54. They don't belong in the same sentence. The two wines don't. First of all, let's just start off with that. This is so... ridiculously superior of a wine, it's not even worth talking about. Not to say that isn't a good wine, but it's one dimensional ish, and it's probably not worth $50. The Pride Merlot, the next thing that we've done a lot of that. Now, what I would say is this has a lot more complexity, but the Pride is unabashedly California, American oak. And it's ready. It is more of a wine that is ready to be drank over 5 to 7 years. Period. It's jazzier, whatnot. This is built for the long haul. This is a more serious wine. You know, it's enjoyable sometimes to have those other things, but at the end of the day, this is a superior wine. It's also,
you know, what's interesting about that comment?
$25 cheaper.
When we describe Pride.
Uh-huh.
One of the things you said about it is, this is a more serious wine.
I never said that. I just listened to the episode.
No, but when we talk about it.
Well.
It's
serious compared to what?
Things, like you said, Duckhorn.
Oh, no. It's a bigger wine. Because Duckhorn, I'm not quite sure. Duckhorn is... it's nice.
It's a good wine.
But it's not Pride.
Pride's better than that.
It's not Schaefer. It's not...
this is better than Pride.
Oh, yeah.
It's different.
It's still the same grape.
Pride. Pride has some things that some people might like more than this wine. Good for them.
Olympically, this is superior. For your average person on the street that's a casual wine drinker, they're not going to probably say, oh my God, I love all that really grainy, hardcore, hard tannin. They're probably not going to say that. They don't have the long view of saying, oh my God,
where this is gonna go?
Yeah.
The
same people also probably won't like it where it goes, but
I think most people are gonna prefer this to the Pride. But I think there's a certain segment of people that are gonna like Pride more than the Chateau Fombrage, just because of that bigger California thing, just the bigger front end of it. The fruit profile, per se.
Oh, it's easier for them.
It is easier for them. This likely won't demonstrate its fruit until it's got 15, 20 years in the bottle.
And fruit isn't necessarily the party piece of this wine.
No. In general, the French style, it's not the party piece of the wine either. However, mm-hmm. there are some. And I think this has potential to show a nice front palate. It's just right now, it's young. It's not ready yet. But what it shows is freaking amazing. I don't think you're exaggerating
that it's nearly a 2-minute finish.
Oh, no. Yeah.
It's as long as anything we've ever done.
I've never really timed the other ones, but when we did like Pone Kine and those sorts of things, those are so old that they aren't.
They don't have the length of finish that just does because mm-hmm. they're so old. But that what's important about the length of this finish is it's where it can go with the aging.
Oh, sure. Right? Oh, no.
Right?
Well, just the whole structure of the wine. This thing is built for that. I mean, that's the other thing. We talk about people that want to put together inexpensive collections. They want to get started, and they want some better things, but they don't want to spend $500. How dare you, right? But this is a cellar builder, man. You buy 6 of these.
Yeah. A case? 6 a case?
You do. Well, you get a $10 discount off 6 at wine.com. So you start, this is something that you do have several of in your collection, because the way I look at it is Saint-Emilion is like the mortar. Your bricks are in your Bordeaux collection. Your reasonable everyday man Bordeaux collection, okay? You're going to have things from Pouillac. I do. You're going to have things from Pomerol. You're going to have things from Margaux. You're going to have things from Saint-Julien. You're going to have things from Saint-Estèphe. But those are the bricks. The mortar are your Saint-Emilion Grand Cruz. I'm not talking about the A and the B classes. The A and the B classes are bricks too, but everything else, you know, you can get lesser Margaux, right? That aren't part of the 1855 classification. Yeah, you buy those at Costco for $24. Fuck knows what that is. There's plenty of those. They don't necessarily have the provenance. They haven't went through the trials and really been accepted. They're from lesser estates. Where at the same price, I mean, because I have like, what is it? It's a Pomerol. Oh, I have several Pomerols that they're not from some sort of offshoot. They're a Pomerol, and they're $42. Why? Because they're a rando fucking. I mean, they got reviews. They're pretty good, but they're where this is the glue of the mortar of your collection. So you have 2 dozen of these sprinkled through everything else. And these, the $49, you can get some really good ones too for mid to high 30s as well. Grand Poney is one of those. I think it's like 35, and there's a few other ones. And so you can sprinkle those in with that, and then you could do some B class and A class. A class is, I mean, you're getting up into $1,000. Cheval Blanc is what, $900 at least.
Yeah.
The Chateau Anjou, I have lusted over that, you know, before, and I will have that sometime.
Oh, now this is how the Me Too movement started. People talking the way you're talking now.
That's like,
I'll have that.
I will. It's like $400 a bottle.
Bad man.
I've been warming myself up. I've done.
That's again.
I've done 100. I do $187 a bottle.
This is what I deal with.
But I'm warming up. Man, I looked at Hillside Select the other day, and I said, I don't want 17. Boom. Excuse not to buy it. So, you know, that's how I whirl.
What? Excuse not to buy it?
Yeah, you get it off from an off-vintage. Who the hell wants the off-vintage ultra-premium wine? You don't do that. You don't buy the... Oh, but it's $20 cheaper. You don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't want... it's like it's the Schaefer Select you'd buy at Marshall's or TJ Maxx.
Oh, Lord.
You don't want
that's
that.
Not the right.
You want the right vintage. You're spending that much money.
Lord.
Oh, I want the off vintage of Dominus. No, you don't. You want the one that
Marshall's. You're going to Marshall's to buy wine.
No, you know what I mean, dickhead. It's like, you know, you wear a lot of polo, and yeah, I do. Where'd you get that from? Marshall's. I bought it for $20. I do that, but that's clothes, you know? You just don't want the off. You don't I know the vintage wasn't a good vintage. Even though the scores might be high, I still know that's not the vintage that you want.
Okay.
That's how you know you've gone to the level of snobbery. It's like, no.
Yes, because yes, I bought an Astralis. No, did I get the 100 pointer? How dare I bought the off vintage. It's only 98.
Yeah. I don't know that there is an on vintage for Australian wine. So, you know, there's that. Well, folks, we're going to take a break. But we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So on tonight's potpourri, I'm going to give you a little drinking update. Things we've had. It's important to tell and review, personally, things we've had off air.
That's because we're alcoholics and you need to know what we drink.
I hardly ever drink. And then we're going to talk about what we're thankful for. I'm thankful for me. But
what are you thankful for?
One thing I had on Friday night.
For me, too.
Which was interesting. From the Finger Lakes. The Ravines Winery.
Yeah.
I was just in the Finger Lakes a few weeks ago. I wasn't familiar with this winery then. I really regret I was not familiar with this because this was a Cabernet Franc, 100%. And it was French. It tasted French. It was such a delight. They have something called their Maximilian, which is their Bordeaux red. And they have like their Riesling and whatnot. But. Oh, a nicely concentrated, pretty Cab Franc. Exactly what you'd want it to be. Exactly. That's like $24, $23. Great wine. Shockingly good wine.
Upstate New York does a good job.
Yeah, it does. We like Wagner. We have bought several. When I was at Wagner a few weeks ago. That's where I went. And I've bought some. I did a tasting there. I want to let them meld. They're all very,
let
very
sit. Let
very
sit new. For a red hot second.
Yeah, and then really get in there. We will revisit some of those things eventually. They have us, what is that thing? It's a Meritage, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes. And so, and I even bought the Reserve Pinot, which we just want to see how that. We also have from Wagner their well, we'll call it the German name, but we know it's not that. Their Eiswein.
Right.
That was sold out at the winery.
People love that shit. People like the higher alcohol content stuff.
Well, that's lower alcohol. Eiswein is.
Sometimes it's higher.
No, it's not. It's Riesling. It's like 8 to 9%.
Okay, the Riesling one, but yeah,
they're not fortified. They're not a fortified wine. Eiswein is once again Riesling. Now it's concentrated, but in the residual sugar range, it isn't necessarily high alcohol.
Where people love like. Who it's the wine steak deal in Wilmington where they do an ice wine? It's like 20%, but it's fortified.
Why would you fortify an ice wine?
They do.
Who? Dr. Frankenstein? Why would you do that?
In the Bikini Machine.
What the fuck would you put in it? Bull's urine?
It was good.
No.
Well, it got you where you wanted to go.
Are you sure it wasn't a white port?
No.
They didn't. That would make sense.
I mean,
maybe it was a white port. Which kind of mystifies me. I've never had white port. Just like to point that out. Thought about buying it many times to try it, but I never do. Certain things I don't understand. I wasn't familiar with Madeira very much, so I bought some, and I realized if I bought any more, I'd become way too familiar with Madeira because it's very tasty. cream sherry. I don't particularly like Fino, dry sherry,
like anything.
But I like cream, and I like Oloroso is fine too, and I really like PX. But the Madeira, I was like, it's dangerous. Remember we did that? We drank that whole bottle really quick, and it wasn't a half bottle.
Well,
sherry, the rich sherry can be sometimes overpowering. Where cream is a blend, I believe, of PX and Oloroso, so it's a little bit drier. That's probably wrong, but it's a little bit dry, but it still has a hint of the sweetness, and the body is just dialed back a little bit. Alvarez makes a $16.99 one that is fine, and so it gives you a little bit of those nuances of tawny, like a dry tawny that you like. but still just has a little bit more. And that was so nice. But Madeira is a little bit sweeter beyond that, but it's not as thick. It's not as viscous. You're not going to use it as a fucking ice cream topping. Like the, what the hell do we have? The Osborne. Was it 1827? Cough syrup. Well, when you poured the bottle, when you tilted the bottle to pour, nothing came out for a while.
It was like,
it just put a knife up in there. Yeah. Just like, yeah.
Valley Vineyards. It's actually in Morrow, Ohio.
Oh, well, I'm sure that's done properly.
Just west of Wilmington College.
Uh-huh. It's probably a bottle of horse jizz.
Oh, Lord.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to say that. Cow jizz.
Jesus.
It's Wilmington.
So. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah. Raccoon jizz? Well, no. I mean, it's just, or would you drink that? Why are you down there?
I'm sure you would.
It's hillbilly wine. Why the fuck are you drinking that, man? Man, it's got the high alcohol in it. It's because it has moonshine. Well, it's not proper.
Jesus Christ.
It actually.
I heard about ice wine. They do it down in Morrow County.
Oh, buddy, that's what he ordered with his better half.
He ordered at a restaurant? In public?
So you do your own. You get two steak dinners and a bottle of wine.
Is it the Sizzler? You get that with a steak dinner?
It's the Valley.
Was it beef tips?
No, it's actually quite a good steak.
You know, Kroger had their bone-in strips, which are normally kind of shitty. I think of it as like a golf outing steak, right?
Right.
But these were pretty heavy, pretty big, and had some nice little fat in it. So I did it just on the gas grill, and it was the discount meat, you know. So I got a 4-pack for $20, and they were inch and a half. They cooked up nicely.
Just like you. Inch and a half.
Well, you know. You got to do what you got to do. What are you still looking up? Your shitty winery that you went to?
This ice wine.
It's not ice wine.
They had one then. It's been freaking
20 years. Do you think the Calskimmon people know what ice wine is? They just threw a name on it. It's probably ice cube
they
wine.
Have a white Christmas?
No.
It's a semi-sweet white wine.
I'll bet it's semi-sweet, yeah.
Blush Fusion.
Everything I know is based upon Morrow County's wine community. It's like,
They do have a pink Catawba.
I bet they do.
Raspberry wine, blackberry wine. Honey mead.
Well, yeah. Yeah, that's what it should be. Yeah, honey mead. That's, you know. I've never liked mead.
I don't do their
If I wanted to chew on a beehive, I would chew on a beehive.
You know what you'd love?
No, they discontinued the horse semen wine.
You know what they have?
You just start. I got you confused because you think about horse cum. What?
They're second on their batting order. They have Cab Franc, 100%.
I bet it's delicious.
Well, it's, you know.
You understand? We call that Cab Franc, not Cab Franc.
Well,
you know.
Franklin.
I one time had a Cab Franc
called Ben for sure
in North Carolina. It tastes like they made it in their bathtub.
Well.
Yeah. There's a difference. So, Scott.
Family member went to see the Elton John in Pittsburgh. And they did a
You mean,
winery
would you see
afterwards.
Elton John?
In Pittsburgh.
Wait, it's not the Elton John. You went and saw Elton John. He's in person.
The
John. You're objectifying him.
Well, he's pretty objectifiable.
Oh, good God.
Hey, say what you want. People like him.
No, I like him too.
Elton John.
Well, Sir Elton John is what he is.
Depends
on what.
They went to a winery.
He's got a title.
They were...
he was knighted.
Texting me about what would make wine taste like paint thinner. My answer. The
drinking
only thing,
it in Pennsylvania?
The only thing you can really say is, well, paint thinner might make wine taste like paint thinner.
Where are you? I'm drinking wine from Pennsylvania. That tastes like paint thinner. You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, back to...
You know what? I one time had a port in West Virginia that tasted like gasoline. You know why? Because they made it in fucking West Virginia.
You did not order a port that was made in West Virginia.
From the Tamarack. I just bought a bottle. I was like, oh, they have wine.
You were in... Wait. So you're in the Tamarack, which, by the way, folks, West Virginia has a...
It's a crafts mall. It's a tourist attraction.
It's a... truck stop.
It is actually, isn't it? It has some arts and crafts in it.
It happens to be Scott, toll booth.
Let's be frank.
You can stop there.
They're very excited about it.
And it's the Tim Rack. Yeah. Apparently not as excited as you were.
No, it's an arts and crafts colony.
No, it is a truck stop. Trucks do stop there.
No, it does have a Starbucks. Yeah. They're modernizing.
That's a different building.
No, it's the same building.
No.
It even looks like a truck stop on the inside, kind of. It
does have great bathrooms.
I'm sure. Well, a lot of truck stops do, you know. It's even showers.
It's one of those truck stops where you can pay $9 for a Burger King double cheeseburger, fries, and a small Coke.
I think there is a different building. Well, kind of. It's not really, is it?
No.
But it's a different part of the building.
No, you leave the exit, and there is an art crafts mall, which they advertise at the Tamarack, and they sucker you into stopping.
Let's rephrase this.
At the truck stop, because you think it's an art crafts mall.
Scott, okay, stop. First of all, people think when you say mall, you're talking about something the size of a shopping mall.
Well, actually,
it's a room. A larger room, but it's a room.
Most of our listeners don't know what a mall is because they're non-existent in most of the country now.
Are you saying our listeners are non-existent or malls?
Probably both.
Okay, there you go. Well, I mean, malls, historically, were something large. Tamarack, I don't know if it would be called large. But people go there because they have to use the bathroom and get gas and, you know.
You want a Starbucks?
Get sucked off by a prostitute in the bathroom, you know. Handy from Wilford.
It's West. How did you know I go down there? As I always thought people were filming me wherever I go. Now I know it. Somebody saw me give somebody a hand job in the bathroom? My God, that's a really nice bathroom, Scott. When we met there that one time, that was really nice.
Oh wait, the bathroom was nice.
Yes. You remember that? Mm,
I don't.
I gave you a hand job. Remember that?
Oh, Lord.
That's right. That's what you said. That's right. You did say that.
Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord.
That's right. It was just a yes. You know when you said that? Never mind.
My sweet Lord.
Let's talk about horse semen.
No, let's not do that. But yes, Tim. What were we going to say? What we're thankful for? We were going to get
Wilfred
into
Wong giving hand jobs in the Tamarack bathroom.
You're thankful for that? That wasn't even my left hand. My left hand's where the true talent is.
Oh,
Lord. Lots smoother stroke. I tend to be a herky jerky with the right one. That's more for speed.
Jesus Christ. This was going to be such a good episode. It was. And then we learned that Wolfram's right handed for speed. And left-handed for smoothness.
That's right. I'm a lot more, you know. You take the thumb and you rub it on the tip, just like that, Scott.
Wilfred Wrong.
This
folks.
Side is just like that.
Jesus.
You know, I have a tennis elbow in my right arm, so I've got to slow down. I might get carpal tunnel in my wrist. Strangely enough, before I get into that, I have to get suited up. I look like Barry Bonds with like a wrist brace on and an elbow brace. Strangely, when Barry Bonds, never mind. I don't want to talk.
Barry
I met
Bonds.
Him one time in San Francisco. Let's just
in that. San Francisco.
That's where I'm from. And he played in there. In there, yeah. In San Francisco, yes.
Did he?
Yes.
With
no.
He played braces on his wrist.
Baseball, yes.
Oh, he was a baseball player.
Yeah. Yes. Also, yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yes. You ever heard about the cream?
The Quell?
It wasn't HGH. That's all I can say.
It didn't work.
Why? Oh, it worked.
Did it?
Yes. You want to find out?
No.
I'll make you some.
No. What are you thankful for, Scott? Other than Wilford giving you a hand job in the Tamarack bathroom in West Virginia. Besides the hand job.
With the right hand, yes. He likes speed.
Okay, go ahead. You're flustered. I don't know why.
One, I'm
always, why are you offended?
We were talking about what we've been drinking, but that
we know what you've been drinking.
That didn't happen, really, did it?
I talked about one bottle. I don't know what you've been drinking. You talk about paint thinner. You talk about what other people have been drinking.
Recently, I did.
You talk about drinking that horse semen wine.
One of my favorite bottles, one in the world, is Turley's White Coat.
Well, yeah, but we know that you always drink that.
No, I had it.
You're like
just
a broken
recently.
Record. Something new that you've never talked about.
No, I had that most recently, and I always want to talk about that.
But talk about something that you've never talked about before.
I haven't had anything really new of late.
Why not?
Um, Yeah, just have it. We had it was a Turley week. We had 3 or 4 bottles of Turley. Freaking love the Turley.
Well, you should be no money left after for anything else if you buy your Turley.
Well, you could do a lot worse. You could do a lot worse, sir.
Yeah, you have a Parducci collection. That'd be awesome.
I don't have a Parducci collection. We had the Dragon Vineyard after the White Coat.
Mm-hmm.
It was a nice little Friday night. And then went to...
That was Saturday.
What did we follow that up with? Oh, Double Canyon.
Yeah, we have a bottle of that in the wine vault there.
Yes. We need to get to that.
Okay, we will.
It was freaking fantastic. Okay. Or Seven Hills.
Yeah.
Yeah, that
we can have it on when Becky's here.
I might have had that before, but I don't think so. I think that was my first bottle of that. So that's probably my newest thing. And that was White Coat, Dragon from Turley, and then followed it up with the Double Canyon,
mm-hmm.
or Seven Hills cab.
Right.
It's spectacular. Talk about QPR. I think that goes like...
Around 19.
22, 20, somewhere
around there. Yeah.
And it's well worth it. I think 91 it got was the highest score.
Yeah, I got, but for some jank reviewers.
But
what do you mean?
And what do you mean? I don't... It's jank. I'm freaking great.
It's... I'm a hack for Horse Seven Hills. I love Horse Seven Hills. And wasn't disappointed by that. Wasn't disappointed at all. I think there's great value in Columbia Valley, but particularly Horse Seven Hills. Just go 100% cab and you can't go wrong.
Yeah, let's just take a look at this. Double Canyon, the 17. Yes, it's fantastic. And it got, 92 from James and 90 from the Enthusiast.
I think it was an 18. I'm not certain.
It's very 19's current or 17's current vintage. 18's
is it? Maybe it was 17 then.
Yeah, they don't have the 18. 18 though got better reviews because the tasting panel gave it a 92, and James gave it a 90, which we know what that means. It means it tastes like turpentine. So, folks, we're gonna take a break, but then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. Back, folks. So the 2018 Chateau Framboise from Saint-Emilion Grand Cru. Bernard Mangret is responsible for this wine, although he's not the main. He just is the owner, the rich guy.
He's very handsome. You know, I would like to show him my right hand. I think he'd appreciate that more than the left. You know.
Maybe he goes for more smoothness and not the speed.
Though, well, then the left would be correct, wouldn't it? Yes. Well, work the tip a little bit. But anyway.
Scott, do you have a review?
What? For my right and left hand? I mean, I think you'd give a 94 to the right hand. And then you'd probably give a 93 to the left hand. Yeah.
You're disgusting.
Or we could review the wine.
Well, let's review the wine.
Well, that's even better. Sure. Yeah.
I think you should go first, Wilfred.
What?
I think you should go first.
I've never had this wine. Because it was in Poughkeepsie, Illinois. It was a Red Roof Inn.
Poughkeepsie, Illinois. Poughkeepsie's in New York.
No. This is a very, very, very small town. I think if you look at the map, you'll notice Poughkeepsie, Illinois.
Is this like map of the world?
You understand, it's very dark when I get into town. Could be Poughkeepsie, could be Carson, could be, I don't know, your mama. I don't know.
Oh, you had to go there, Wilfred.
I did go there. Right hand in that time, yeah.
I think you should go first.
You want me to go first?
I want you to go first.
Let me take on a sip. Oof. All right. I am going to provide this wine 94 of my points. And this is why. I love the... And I think I might be low. But well, I don't know about 96, 97. I think 95 is the peak, but I can't quite go that high. The full-bodied richness of this wine is amazing. And it's actually showing a little more of the blackberry and chocolate right there. The blackberry is getting a little more prominent. And that milk chocolate, or the chocolate, Baker's chocolate, milk chocolate, is so strong in the mid-palate. And then it's showing little winks of tobacco that you know is going to be something fantastic. And forget about the length. The length is just amazing. The tannin is amazing. It is so Merlot, and it's the best. It's one of the best examples you're going to find, really, in a reasonable price of what Merlot can be when it's great. You know, anything under, this is under $50. Find me a better $50 or below Merlot. Find me it. I dare you. You can't. Unless it's another Saint Emilion that I haven't had yet, then please tell me about it.
Wow. You know what I just got on the finish? Pencil lead.
There is a little bit. Mm-hmm. Just a, I mean, it's.
So I'm in a fantastic. Similar, I'm going to go, you know, often when reviewers are doing barrel samples for futures, they'll give a range. And I think that's where I'm at, 92 to 94 in the range. And I think it's going to be spectacular. I would go 93 as my score. It's just, you know, this is going to be a really, really good. Fuck it. I'm going to go 94 as well. Yeah. And I'm going to change my range from 93 to 95.
That's where I was, really.
I really think, you said it earlier in the show, earlier in the episode, that if you're a person who is really serious about starting a collection, buy this.
Oh, you have to.
It's okay. It's not Burgundy. It's not anything that's ever going to be 100.
No.
But for some, this is a no-brainer, and you're going to be glad you did it.
Oh. It's just, here's a question. Which would you rather have? Which would you rather? The boy or this? They're different wines.
I do have to say,
I mean, this is way more ageable than the boy, but
that's okay. Yeah. That's okay, but that took you places.
Mm-hmm. It takes me places.
I think it's okay to say you've got two wines in a similar price range and they're completely different and say, I like this one better than the other, but I can't say I would rather have this over the boy. It's just, what do I want to drink tonight?
In 15 years, I'd rather have this. Right now, you might rather have the boy, but because the boy's amazing. It is an interesting question.
And the boy's going to go 10.
Yeah.
Easy.
But it rewards a little more earlier drinking.
So. I don't think it has the timeline that this wine has. Oh, I don't think it has 20 years.
No. I don't know question. If one more bottle of this is enough.
No shit. Right? That's a good question. The boy. I think you want to have both those bottles, right?
Mm-hmm. That you do. Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Beautiful wine.
Beautiful wine. I think this is the Wine Vault world record holder for length of finish.
Yeah.
What is he doing?
I'm making adjustments.
He's going to the top shelf. Oh, no. You didn't take the Franciscan off. Oh, he's clearing a place. He's actually going to take the Frombrage and put it up immediately beside
the boy.
The cave vintner's the boy. I can deal with it. I love a clip that you took the Magnificat down.
I think that's because I've got many more bottles to go on that. But
there may be, should have been some discussions.
Chimney Rock Elevage? Come on. You got two Camuses up there.
I do have two Camuses up there. I don't know. I'll make some adjustments.
You need to adjust something, that's for sure.
I just did.
Yeah, okay. Inch and a half.
Yeah. Well, you know, 7 inches. So, folks, 294s. Fantastic. Bravo to, well, us. So the Chateau Framboise, another classic wine from the wine vault. Although it hadn't been there that long. I've had this bottle about a year, but that's okay. It has brothers. So, for Rob the Wine Guy and Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, we are going to bid you adieu. But we will see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night. Oh,